And welcome in to the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. I am back. I have returned from Orlando, from Disney World. Joseph, how are we doing?
Good. I think Keyser is really excited about you being back. I don't think Keyser likes Kaharsky very much. Yeah, by the way, Kaharsky's coming back in again today, dude.
I know he's coming back. Sorry. I'm not saying that I don't like him.
Well, I'm not. You're not saying it. You're saying it with your actions a little bit. That's okay. But we're excited to have Robbie back.
I have a rhythm
from Keyser today.
Hey, God.
Thank goodness.
Hey, God, he's back.
Joe did very well on his liners.
No, man.
It's good.
No. I don't. I hate microphone one. Come have it.
Take do you want to do it again today?
No.
I feel like you're in a little bit of a rhythm.
I mean, half the time, that's the thing that I'm impressed by all of you microphone wanters. I mean, half the time, Kaharsky was blabbing at me about whatever. I wasn't even listening to him because I'm like, what's the, you know, like, what do I have to read? I'm okay, sure, Kaharsky, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Staley sucks. Staley's an idiot, and you never listen to his show, but you always know what's on his show. It's weird how that works. No. I can focus now. Focus.
So how was back Disney? To normal. Disney was good, man. We got down there, kind of a chill day on Friday. We spaced it out with the 6-month-old when we did a theme park like every other day, which worked out pretty well. So we got down there Friday, just kind of hung out by the pool. Saturday went to Universal, which I have a Rob Rant on later. Sunday just kind of hung out with some family and went to some different places we like down there, including Skyline Chili, which I enjoyed. My wife did not. And then Monday, all day at Disney. So she was a trooper. Allison was, and it went really well.
Had a
really good time.
That was great. I've had a 1-year-old as the second kid at Disney, and it went pretty well.
Yep.
There's probably some sub 1-year-old horror stories, you know, at those places.
Yeah.
So
I saw some.
That's big time. Yeah, you're right.
I observed
some. Saw some in real time. Like, oh. Yeah.
They are not happy. Okay. All righty. Yeah, well, I mean, she
buffered days. That's a good idea.
I mean, I want to say, I don't think she cried because she was hungry. But other than that, she didn't freak out one time. Pretty good for a 12-hour day at Disney. Pretty good.
Wow. That's so wow. I muted myself.
Pretty good stuff. Nick Keyser, how we doing?
I'm good. I'm happy that we're having PK back later.
That's
PK,
good.
Yeah,
PK
yeah.
was
good.
A delight.
Here we go.
Yeah.
You can't wait.
Monday was his birthday, so we got him. Well, I got him donuts. I got him a Bismarck.
Wow.
So there you go. And then, like I said, Joe did a good job on microphone one.
That's good.
We had one giveaway that went pretty well. And aside from that,
that's good.
Joe can handle it.
Hey, plenty of people hate PK. You don't have to worry about it, man.
Yeah,
don't feel bad.
It'll be okay.
Don't feel bad.
He has a key card now, so he's not going to call me this morning.
He does. He has a key card.
I hope he does call you. We'll see what happens. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. Preds back in action tonight with a big one, taking on the LA Kings at Bridgestone Arena. Their last game before the All-Star break / bye week, whatever you want to call it, taking place tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel coming up at 7 o'clock. We got a lot to get into with him. On the Tennessee front, and we're going to get into that ourselves here in just a few minutes. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us for the 8 o'clock hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. And, Joe, let's begin there. Tennessee, it comes out yesterday, under investigation once again by the NCAA, and Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated had this for, quote, major in nature violations related to NIL, and that's apparently including multiple sports, the scrutiny of name, image, and likeness benefits for athletes. Obviously, lots of people drawing the connection yesterday to Nico Iamaliava. Spire Sports came out with a statement kind of detailing about how their agreement with Nico went down. Dondi Plowman came out with a very strong statement against the NCAA, the Tennessee Chancellor, yesterday. Joe, I guess just first, your initial thoughts on this investigation against Tennessee by the NCAA, what your initial read on it is, and how much trouble your sense is that the Vols could end up being in here if this goes the wrong way for them.
Yeah, it's – I mean, I think a lot of – like the college football media and certainly some of the Vols homer media reaction is like, oh, yeah, sure thing, NCAA, you know. That's not the feeling I got talking to some people at Tennessee yesterday. Not that anybody's sitting there expecting the death penalty anytime soon, but first of all, New York Times reported Nico is part of the investigation, and it was a plane that he took that Spire Sports put him on, which was all before the rules were. So that to me is, if that's all it is, then I'm with all those people.
Right.
But I just can't believe it is. And they don't know everything it is, but I do know that in Donde Plowman's scathing letter to the NCAA, she said lack of institutional control, which means she's been told lack of institutional control. So I've got to assume they've got some stuff, right? Like, and which I would think would be more in along the lines of coaches tampering with players on other teams. They bragged at a conference. They just a few weeks ago, NCAA board, that they have screenshots of coaches tampering, and basically, that is against the rules to tamper with players and other teams and, essentially start the process of portaling and paying before it gets to a player in the portal. We know this happens.
Yeah.
But, of course, it happens. But, I mean, is Tennessee just doing it recklessly and there's all kinds of evidence? I don't know. I mean, if the Nico stuff, if it's more focused on the stuff that happened before they set the quote-unquote guidelines about NIL, which was 10 months after NIL started, then that's a joke. The Tennessee people are not laughing at this. So, I mean, we'll see. There's a big picture thing here where it's like, I think there's going to be more information today. I think we're going to hear some more stuff today on the other side of this. And we'll see. But I would not just dismiss this as nothing. They obviously, if they're coming after Tennessee like this, I mean, again, they just had this investigation and they just lauded them for cooperation. It's easy to cooperate when it's like, yes, we'd like to fire him for cause. We're going to thoroughly cooperate with you, baby. But, then you're going to go after him. Like, why would you do that if you don't have stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that part of it doesn't make any sense. And you look, there's the thought process out there too. And I saw a lot of people talking about this yesterday of, well, it's the NCAA and they're trying to make a power play here. And if you're Tennessee, if you're anybody right now with the NCAA, screw that, sue them. And that was kind of the thought yesterday of, this is eventually going to end up in court. And
they're getting sued. They can get sued again. Sure.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens on that front. Donde Plowman with some strong language in her email that was uncovered yesterday. And again, we'll have Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel to break this all down at 7:00 too. But said, I mean, some of the things she put in there were, the allegations are factually untrue, procedurally flawed. Moreover, it is intellectually dishonest for the NCAA enforcement staff to pursue infraction cases as if student athletes have no NIL rights. She said a lot of things in her email and did not really hold back to the NCAA. So obviously this has captured the attention of Tennessee, and the cooperation, I think the phrase was exemplary cooperation with all the Pruitt stuff that they got done going through. It doesn't look like they're going to get that from Tennessee this time around. It looks like Donde Plowman very upset.
Yeah, and that's where there's still some – look, I know that they don't know everything. They don't have a notice of allegations, so they don't know everything NCAA has. But also, clearly, they've been told, like, this is some significant stuff. I mean, there's a lot to this. I know we'll get to this in the 7 hour too, but, I mean, Tennessee – was reach out, and they put this, an open records request yesterday with Tennessee, and they put all the communications they had with the NCAA. They were begging Charlie Baker to talk to them as of mid-December. They found out about this in mid-December. They were begging him, a Zoom, we'll come to you, whatever it is. I mean, I've got all the emails. And first of all, the first one was ignored. Second one was like, well, we'll see what we can do on the calendar. And then the NCAA was like, well, how about like this assistant, Stan Wilcox? They're like, we've already talked to him. We need to talk to Charlie Baker. And then it just, like, they stopped responding. So that to me is like, it's a bad look for the NCAA. And I think that's part of the anger here from Donde Plowman, which I understand. But again, it's also like, step back and look at this and say that, I mean, if she's this upset, she also must have some information about the severity here, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what could this mean? I think you'd probably look at 2025. And again, remember, it's not just football. This is multiple sports. But if you're thinking of it in football terms, could the 2025 team, which might be a really good team, you know, if they, the way things are trending with recruiting and with Nico be a junior, that could be a special team. Could that team have a postseason ban?
Yeah.
You know, because that's the only punishment that really matters, right? I mean, unless you're, you know, show cause for coaches, but other than that, that's all that matters. Vacating stuff, great. I mean, they fined him $8 million. That was an all-time record in July. Okay, $8 million. Who cares? Beer sales.
Yeah.
So that's there's a long way to go on this. It's all about what do you have. If it's this Nico flight and it's all stuff that happened back then, it's a joke. But I'm not resolved to just believe that. And I don't think Tennessee is either.
I'll read the statement that Spire Sports put out there on the Nico stuff. Quote, in early 2022, independent of the University of Tennessee or anyone associated with its athletics program, Spire Sports entered into a mutually beneficial contractual relationship with Nico Iamaliava that involved a limited assignment of his NIL rights, no matter which school he chose to attend. Such representation agreements have become increasingly common. The parties agreed that their contractual rights and obligations would be governed by California law, which freely allows prospective college athletes to enter into such agreements. In short, the agreement was fully consistent with then-existing NCAA NIL guidelines and had nothing to do with recruiting Nico to the University of Tennessee or any other school. Spire Sports and the Vol Club currently represent more than 100 college athletes and are proud to have helped them maximize the value of their legally protected name, image, and likeness. That was the statement yesterday from Spire Sports on Nico.
Yeah. So, first of all, it's like I love how you go back to – you know, if you remember, Stuart Mandel from The Athletic had, like, there's an unknown quarterback who has signed a deal,
yeah,
you know, or a player or whatever, and everyone at first thought it was Arch Manning, yeah, but then it was like, oh, who is that? I mean, I think it's kind of obvious who everybody was talking about, but, like, I mean, I read that statement, and Tom Mars is a pretty powerful attorney who represents Spire Sports, by the way, and it's like, how can you retroactively,
yeah,
again, if that's what this is, then I had changed my mind on Charlie Baker. I thought he was way better than Mark Emmert, and like he actually has a clue and stuff. But there's more information to come.
We'll have more on the Tennessee stuff later in the program. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville Sentinel, Knoxville News Sentinel, going to join us at 7 o'clock. We'll get into the Tennessee investigation by the NCAA in the 7 o'clock hour. Coming up next, there's something that went down, or maybe more specifically didn't go down in the NFL yesterday that has me scratching my head a little bit. We'll get into that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joe, a coaching hire that I thought for sure would go down this offseason, apparently not going to happen. Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, which, by the way, first time I've seen you since the loss. My condolences to your Lions the other day.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome. apparently telling Washington and Seattle that he is sticking with the Lions and remaining the offensive coordinator heading into next season. So that is now two coaching cycles in a row, Joe, that apparently Ben Johnson has elected to stay with the Lions. And Schefter put this out there yesterday, and you know, according to some of his sources, there were some teams that balked at his asking price to be the head coach. We talked about, you know, some prices and numbers that his agent threw out there a few weeks ago, talking like $15 million a year that they tried to walk back after that and all those things. But regardless, Ben Johnson is remaining with Detroit to be the offensive coordinator, and I love the spinning of it yesterday was he wants to go back and try to finish the job and win the Super Bowl is what Schefter and others put out there. So Washington and Seattle, I guess, having to move on, and I thought for sure when it drug out this long that Ben Johnson was going to be the next head coach of the Washington Commanders. I mean, it just made sense with the new ownership that they have in place, the money that's available to them, and the opportunity to draft a quarterback that they're going to have at number 2 overall coming up. But apparently that's not going to be the case. What did you make of Ben Johnson, I guess, electing once again to not put himself in the head coaching mix?
Yeah, it's interesting, very surprising. I thought he'd be the Commanders coach too. I mean, I have to think that he just didn't. I mean, look, he's set up for success again next year. Like, he'll, like, you know, it's not like I think he's going to fall off the map. So I guess it's just being selective. I mean, that's part of it. I do think he likes his boss. I mean, that's an obvious thing, but, you know, it's still, you would assume that you would go for a head coaching job that was attractive. I would assume the Commanders' job is attractive because they're about to draft a QB. And I mean, I think their ownership, I mean, their GM, you know, new GM, but I mean, has been part of success. He was a number two at San Fran. Rand Carthon was a number three. And, you know, the new ownership, I mean, I don't know, maybe he, something about that whole thing just doesn't sit right with him. But I love the Schefter. I mean, like, Schefter, like, here, Adam, let me write this tweet for you. So, first of all, he tweets, Ben Johnson was not the head coaching lock people thought. His asking price spooked some teams, per sources. That's his first tweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the Commanders got to him. Okay. All right. And then there's more from Schefter. Commanders officials were en route to Detroit. They got the word he was staying. While the abrupt pivot was surprising, he was not considered a lock for the Commanders job. You know, they remained eager to meet with the respected Aaron Glenn. Okay, all right. So now asking price, he wasn't really a lock. They didn't really like him that much.
Yeah.
You lost the recruit and you didn't really want him. They didn't have a committable offer,
right,
whatever the hell. And then Ben Johnson's agent said, hey, Adam, you better tweet something for me, MF-er, right now. Lions offense coordinator Ben Johnson, his cheers remaining on his contract. His deal was not adjusted to stay, per league source, proving money is not Johnson's biggest motivation.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to start sending – I want Schefter to tweet some stuff for me. What can I do to get in line to have Schefter tweet some stuff to me? The Lions could still opt to adjust the contract down the line. I'm reading more of this tweet, but it's not the reason Johnson returned to Detroit today. Johnson is loyal, end quote.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam Schefter. You are excellent at letting people write tweets for you. Bottom line is, I'm surprised I agree with you. I mean, I don't disregard that he has a good job. He likes his job. He likes his boss. I mean, there's some people shared some quotes he had given that were not related to staying or leaving about working for Dan Campbell. I'm sure working for Dan Campbell is great, as long as, you know, like, you're not dependent on him to make good decisions in games. But I also, it just has to be that he didn't like the opportunity, right? I mean, he is going to be able to. First of all, I'm sure the Lions will adjust his contract. I'm sure they will. I'm sure he makes a ton for an OC. But he must. Maybe there's a job next year that he's looking at. Like Kaharski has speculated this week, Vrabel's better off next cycle if you have Cowboys, Eagles, Giants.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something Johnson really likes, and you know.
Is he waiting for Andy Reid to retire after they win another Super Bowl this year?
I mean, that's not the craziest thought. I mean, he really might. And if that's the case, that's a really interesting. If he does, which I think is actually viable, what would they be looking at?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I have my doubts that they're going like Matt Nagy, right? Like he's probably not going to be the guy. So no.
Eric Bieniemy, Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
So I mean, look, I think he does think that they can go win a Super Bowl. I think they won't. You know, that was their shot, but that's got to be a tough one for all of them. And by the way, Ben Johnson's a really good OC, but I'm assuming he's the one who called in the play to run on third and goal,
probably
so they kill a timeout. So that might be a pay cut coming.
Yeah, could be. So did the Titans snag the best hire of the new candidates of this circle? I mean, obviously, look, you look at the Seahawks job is still open. The Washington job is still open. Panthers went with Dave Canales, who did some good things in Tampa Bay this year. Antonio Pierce is technically a new hire, but he was, you know, the coach for half the season last year with the Raiders. Harbaugh has been in the league before as a head coach, so – I mean, I guess you could count him, but Brian Callahan, at the end of the day here, the Titans identified their guy very quickly in the process. They nailed it down. They got him hired, and Ben Johnson doesn't end up being a head coach. Could the Titans have maybe snagged the best candidate this offseason?
Well, of the OC, yeah, of the young OC candidates, yeah, like you said, I mean, Canales, a little bit of a surprise that he emerged like he did. I mean, Slowick. Like Wes in Clarksville writes, you know, signed apparently a new contract. He's out of it. So Slowick, Johnson, Callahan were kind of the often talked about candidates, and the Titans got the one of them who's leaving.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big W for the Titans, you know. Had they pursued, you know, had they gone all in on Ben Johnson or gone all in on Slowick, then, you know, I guess they would have been disappointed. So it worked out pretty well for them. It also makes me wonder, so what is – does this make Vrabel more of a likelihood for something here? You know, I mean, if – I mean, obviously the, Washington's talking to Aaron Glenn. I haven't heard about Washington with Vrabel, so I guess
– No.
You know, so I guess not there. But then Seattle and Vrabel, there have been – reports of at least contact. So
would you take that job if you're him with the I mean look you, obviously
Seattle?
They've done a really good job. You know, Pete Carroll, I thought, did a good job with Geno Smith being the quarterback and the situation after Russell Wilson. They've got, obviously, you know, some receivers that are just unreal out there. But I personally don't view Geno Smith as like the long-term answer quarterback there.
Yeah.
So I do wonder how attractive is that job to a Vrabel or an established coaching candidate that's out there.
That's a good question. Charles Robinson made the point. He has a hard time seeing Vrabel and John Schneider. Did I just is it John Schneider?
Yeah.
It is John?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'm just having a Dukes of Hazzard flashback, and I was like, did I screw up the name? But he has.
It's not Rob Schneider, which I got called one time on NHL Network.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. We welcome in Rob Schneider. What?
Making cap is.
I've been called worse.
Yeah, that's funny. I think this. I'm with you on the QB, but also, I don't know. Like, if I'm Vrabel, I'm not necessarily feeling great about sitting out a year. I mean, he probably will get a job next year, but you just don't know how things are going to go. So I think there are some good things in place there, and it seems like ownership's pretty good. That's a huge part of it, right?
Yeah.
I think he should take it if he were to get the opportunity. But I don't know where they're going now.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We're hearing from some of you about our app. We are working on the app to get that restored and back up and running. In the meantime, you can listen to us on the radio or at thegamenational.com. Stream us on thegamenational.com. And as always, we are streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, on YouTube. Rexrod's beautiful face available online as well.
Facebook?
Facebook as well.
Yeah, there we go.
It's also in there.
That's a lot of my face.
Yes. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. I am back in the questions chair. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rexrod, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Jared Companies, Fire and Commercial Plumbing HVAC Division. 615-515-1270 is their number. You can give them a call or visit JaredCompaniesInc.com for an estimate today. That's J-A-R-R-E-T-T CompaniesInc.com. I'm in the questions chair today. Would you like to begin, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, with sports or non-sports?
Non-sports.
Non-sports. That was very quick. All right. Your least favorite airport / worst airport experience. Your least favorite airport / worst airport experience.
I'll give you a quick one of both.
Okay.
The worst airport is the Kansas City Airport. If anybody's ever been there, it's the weirdest, stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's absolutely idiotic. Like, that's, I mean, if anybody has been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, who the hell designed this place? It's terrible. Now, there are worse. The Denver lines are horrific, but yeah, Kansas City. And worst experience would probably be I covered Michigan State. This is a good humble brag story. Michigan State on an USS Carl. Oh my gosh, an aircraft carrier. And I forgot the freaking name. It's so embarrassing. But it was in 2011.
Okay.
And I had to cover Michigan State Iowa football. It was a Friday night game. I had to cover Michigan State Iowa football in Iowa City the next day. I flew a red eye from San Diego to Charlotte, Charlotte to Chicago, Chicago to Moline, Illinois, got in a rental car and drove and got there midway through the second quarter to watch Kirk Cousins and Le'Veon Bell beat Iowa. In the meantime, I could not sleep on any of these flights, and I had to wash my hair in the sink of an O'Hare sink in Chicago. There you go.
That sounds awful.
Good times.
Nick Easer, do you have a worst airport experience?
Carl Vinson, by the way. There okay. You go.
God, thank you.
I was trying to help you out for just a second.
Appreciate it.
Way to go, Nick.
I would say the weirdest experience, the worst one, I've not really had too many. I would say when my grandmother took me to California for the first time, we went to Los Angeles as a connecting flight to go to Sacramento. And we got there, and they said, we have to move your gate. We don't know where. And we had about an hour and a half until our flight, right?
Yeah.
And my grandmother, you know, she's over 65 years old at this point in her life. This was a while ago, but old enough for me to remember. And we got to our gate, and they said, actually, you have to take something. I forgot if it was like a little ride across the tarmac or something, but they moved our gate again once we got there. And so my grandmother was just furious. That's all I remember. It didn't really bother me that much, but that was the one time that it was kind of hectic. And then I would say, aside from that, I haven't really had any other problems with air travel, honestly. Okay. I love flying. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm largely a pretty good fan of it, too. I've not had a ton of bad experiences. The Miami airport drives me nuts. It's never been organized at all when I've been in there. Now, I will say, I went there, I don't know, a couple years ago. We got stuck on a connecting flight there, and it was a lot better. But I went to Miami a few years ago to go watch the Heat play, and it's terrible. I mean, lines, people just in total panic out there. It was awful. I thought the TSA agents lost the formula for our child yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
So at one point yesterday,
this is why you thought of this.
I'm going through security. I got a screaming child in my left ear because she's hungry. And I got a TSA agent in my right ear unable to find our formula because somebody laid it down somewhere because they had to inspect it. It was a total disaster. We ended up finding the formula, but I thought for a minute that things were about to get real hairy yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Ended up finding it, though.
That's good.
Whew. So appreciate the people in Orlando finding the formula that they lost. All right, back into sports. In honor of the Kansas City Chiefs, what team or teams from the past did you grow so tired of winning all the time? What team or team of the past did you grow tired of winning all the time? I can start on this one if you need me to.
Go ahead.
I've got a couple of different nominees. I'll give you two.
Are they hockey teams?
One of them is. Alabama football has driven me insane with Nick Saban, which is pretty obvious. You know what, Nick? I'll save the hockey one for you because I'm sure you're going to go that way.
I have two.
I'll go UConn women basketball. And the reason being, had nothing to do with the actual players. I can't stand Oriema.
Yep.
And the fact that they went through a stretch there where nobody could beat them drove me nuts. So I'll go UConn women's basketball, and I'll go Alabama football.
Those are good. Go ahead.
Mine are the Chicago Blackhawks and the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
Detroit is at number one for me. Easily. I hated the Red Wings with a fuel passion. It was something where I remember going
to. Your hate fuels me.
Okay. And I remember going to tailgates, actually, during the first few playoff series, which I have not really seen tailgates since, and maybe they still happen for hockey games during the summertime. But I remember all the fans. They even had the, you know, Chelios is a sissy chance. All that was going on. And then when the Blackhawks came to town, I was a little bit older when they were winning their Stanley Cup. So remember those. I remember being just absolutely gutted when Duncan Keith scored. I think it was double or triple overtime, maybe. I forgot which one it was. But either way, they just destroyed the Predators. I think it was more domination from them as opposed to what the Oilers have done to the Preds, and it's probably close to this point. But, Joe, give me yours.
Yeah, it's the Bulls. The Bulls' sixth rings. I mean, you know, obviously – we know what they couldn't do against the Pistons and how Jordan failed miserably against Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons. But then you get into the 90s, and it's easy, and they win a bunch of titles, and it's like, oh, my God, John Paxson hits all the threes, and Steve Kerr hits all the threes, and then I have to watch Rodman playing with the Bulls. So, yes, a lot of hatred.
Is there anybody alive that's more of a combo hater of the Michael Jordan, Tom Brady experience than Joe Rexroad is?
I don't think so.
I don't know why you think I'm a hater of the Tom Brady experience. I'm just a realist about it. The hater of the Bulls, yes. Not a hater of the Brady experience. I mean, I won't even go into it. Jared's on off the reservation on that again, too, because he's twisting my words. But, no, man, come on. I love Brady. Goat. He's goated.
Back into non-sports, your favorite theme park ride of all time. Could be any theme park anywhere. Your favorite theme park ride of all time.
The Millennium at Cedar Point.
Is that Millennium Force?
Maybe that's right. Yeah, I guess I just call it the Millennium. And the crazy thing about that is, you know, I remember when we rode it for the first time, which I think would have been like 01 right in there, maybe 02. Like, it was by far the fastest, tall, all this stuff in the world. And it was like nothing like this in the world. It's still like, and since then, there's all these other roller coasters all over the place. I'm sure that have passed it or whatever. It's still like,
it's awesome.
It absolutely takes your breath away. Yeah.
It's
you've
awesome.
Been on that.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
So, yeah, that's got to be it, man.
Nick, he's your favorite theme park ride of all time.
I would say Splash Mountain before they closed it. Okay. I remember going there and going there early with my family. Another one, too, for me that comes to mind quickly, I will not ride it again because I've heard bad things about it, but the Voyage at Holiday World.
Oh, it's good.
I don't like it. Not anymore. Okay. I liked it when I was younger, but those are my two fast ones.
Where's that?
Santa Claus, Indiana, hometown of Jay Cutler.
Okay, I have heard about this. Yeah. Holiday World.
Yeah. I like it. It's good stuff.
Okay.
It's easy for me to go Space Mountain just for nostalgia.
Sure.
I added a new one to the list this weekend, though. Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. Freaking awesome.
Really?
It's amazing.
Nice.
It's incredible.
Epcot.
Yeah.
Oh,
they needed something like that. It's awesome.
Yeah. Tease it for us. Why was it so good?
It's just it's hard to explain without you actually being on the ride.
For sure,
it's just
for
a
sure.
very different roller coaster from the experience of it. It's awesome. It's like a combination of Space Mountain and Rock and Roller Coaster, if you've ever been on that. It's like a combo of the two. It's pretty good.
Where's Rock and Roller Coaster?
It's in Holiday World, or Holiday World, Hollywood Studios in Disney World.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Nice.
All right, back into sports. You can pick one weapon for your offense. Who is it? Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers, Malik Nabers. Of those three, Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers, Malik Nabers. Who you pick?
I mean, first of all, I need to know what else I have, you know?
Nope.
But just all things being equal, man, I'm going Brock Bowers. I think both of those guys are good enough to be wide receiver one in a lot of drafts. But I think Brock Bowers might be a freaking Avenger in the NFL. And, I think he's got a chance to be one of those tight ends that just is a huge problem for people week in and week out. I'm going to go that way.
Nick Heiser, Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, Brock Bowers. Who are you going with?
Nabers. I think undoubtedly I would like to go with a weapon that would be – or. A guy that will be a weapon in the league for a long time, has a lot of upside for sure.
He's great.
I'm going to Odunze.
There you go.
Three different ones there.
I mean, I can't – there's not a wrong answer on that one.
I mean, Bowers is going to be pretty good.
Bowers is going to be pretty good.
This has been The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 6:30. Brought to you by Jarrett Companies. Fire and Commercial Plumbing HVAC Division. You can call 615-515-1270, 615-515-1270, or visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Coming up next, it is time for Preds Pick the Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, a special 6:45 edition today with Kuharski coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the LA Kings. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer for the Predators, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at a score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your participation. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Be the first caller. 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scored tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. Pick to Click presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. No change in the standings from last time out, Joe Rexroad. You and the listeners still tied atop the standings with 12 correct answers apiece. Nick Keiser with 7, and myself remaining at 3. So Kuharski did not help me the other day in Pretz Pick to Click.
Well, at first he tried to give you Saros.
Great choice.
Yeah. I mean, he did get a penalty that night.
I guess he was on the score sheet in some variety that night. It's good to see. So, I mean, I'm out of it, right? We're about at the All-Star break. I'd have to go on an insane heater coming up.
Yeah. You never know how things. I mean, a lot of season to go.
A lot of season to go. So, since the listeners were late, Nick is up first today, but he's also on the phone right now taking a call for the listener. Like, should we punt them both out of the way?
I mean,
should we make an executive decision here?
It's your call, man. I mean, you're the one who. I mean, you're. I give you full autonomy since you have no chance of winning it.
Thank you.
So,
Nick's really having an absolute conversation right now. We'll get to the call here in just a second. Big game for the Preds tonight, Joe, taking on the LA Kings. That was a rough one the other night to blow that game the way they did. You're up 3-0 against Ottawa, who is terrible this year. The fact that they blew that lead and then ended up losing a point out of that was, quite frankly, ridiculous, and that's a tough loss. Big game tonight against the Kings, who have the exact same amount of points that you do, and the LA Kings are 2-8-6 in their last 16 games. So, not very good.
Yeah, it would be a big deal. A lot of time to stew on whatever happens tonight to play well.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ty. Ty, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Preds tonight?
Let's go with Luke Evangelista.
Luke Evangelista. Ty, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Evangelista off the top. I like it.
With a lot of flair and confidence.
Yeah.
I like it, Ty.
Going a little bit different.
Who's first, me?
No, Nick is. Keezer? Who
Thank
we got?
You. Yes. I'm actually going to go with Colton Sissons.
Colton Sissons, the selection. Evangelista Sissons off the board. Joe, I'm going to go with Philip Forsberg as my selection, third overall.
Crazy.
Evangelista Sissons, Forsberg off the board. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
What is happening here? Actually, I'm glad. I want it to work out. I want you to come into the competition a little bit. Forsberg to not want to throw you against a wall, too. So
yes.
I'm rooting for you. Okay. Well, I'll go Ryan O'Reilly.
Okay. Evangelista, Sissons, Forsberg, O'Reilly, the selections there. I think we probably had that combo before. Probably not in that order, with Evangelista going first.
Yeah. Have we had that those four all the same
probably.
Time? Evangelista
probably.
And Sissons in the same one?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe. Interesting.
It's going off the board
a
little bit.
I like it. This team, it's obviously this team is you take anybody off that top line at your own risk. But hey, Ty was like, boom, give me Evangelista. Like, I mean, he's,
I respect
him. I do too. I like it.
Pick to click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. What do you make of the UC Saros conversation right now? Obviously, this is the last game tonight before the All-Star break / bye week / whatever you want to call it with the Predators heading into things. You got the trade deadline coming up. Not that I don't know that I necessarily expect UC Saros to be traded at the deadline this year, but that conversation, until he is either traded or signed to a long-term extension, is always going to be around things. And we've heard Barry Trotz's thoughts on it before to begin the season. But it is interesting right now. Milwaukee, as we know, Rex Road spends his time watching every Admirals game out there.
Well, there's a lot of Milwaukee coverage from Preds Twitter.
A lot of Milwaukee coverage from Preds Twitter going on right now. They have won 11 games in a row. And Yaroslav Askarov looks great. I mean, he looks awesome. And he's had a few shutouts tossed in there. His numbers on the season right now are he's got a .921 save percentage and a 2.18 goals against, which is really, really good.
Yep.
And over this stretch, I think he's at a .941 save percentage. So he's playing some pretty darn good hockey right now. So it's got some people wondering, and I heard Jared talking about this a little bit yesterday too, is Askarov the way to go moving forward? Is the way that things have played out this year with Saros struggling a little bit and Askarov playing lights out in the minors, does that influence the way you view this situation if you're Barry Trotz, as you kind of react to new information that we've seen this year? And I don't know what the answer to that is, but I do know that whatever step you were looking for Yaroslav Askarov to take this year, it feels like he's taking it right now in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and I think it's also obvious that the you know, the returns. I think on both of them, because I think Askarov was also being talked about last draft season, are underwhelming. So I think at some point, like I still believe like you have to choose one. I still think you're getting more for Soros. I think that's right. Although, like you said, if Askarov keeps looking like this, man, people notice. People around the league notice too. Yeah. And obviously, just the money factor is the bottom line is you're going to be in a much better situation with the cap with Askarov. I mean, Soros is going to command. I mean, you got to pay him $8, right?
I would think so.
You got to pay him $8+. So I feel like it's almost like these two guys are kind of dictating what's going to happen. At the same time, I'm not ready to sit here and say, yeah, this is what Soros is now. That's just sorry. He's just a 901 guy now,
right?
You know? I think it's critical. I think the rest of the season is critical. The every time out is critical because you can still make a case. Yeah, man, that guy has been a great goaltender for you for years, and he's still young. He's still got it, and it's worth paying him for the known commodity. Some people would make that case. I'm weaker and weaker with that because Askarov looks like a stud, which is what he was said to be all along.
He does. And look, I will say, I do think there's some people around here that are living a little bit in fantasy land as to what they think the return for UC Soros is going to be in a trade.
It's just not going to be.
It's not going to be a huge, huge return for him. Now, maybe that's what you ask for if you're Barry Trotz, and you won't trade him unless it is. And I get that, but I think some people are getting a little out there. I mean, Matt Larkin of Daily Faceoff put out 4 possible trade destinations for Soros yesterday, and basically his point was it's time to call Barry Trotz's bluff as to whether or not he'll trade UC Soros. And I think like the Devils were in there and the Hurricanes, but some of the returns were like, a first rounder and some prospects, and people were scoffing at that. I'm like, guys, I don't think it's going to be much more than that if that's what they decided to do. So
if you can get a first rounder, and again, a lot of it, like, where is all that stuff? Who is it? Where is it? I'm with you. And it's just like underwhelming return or pay all that money.
Exactly. And the equation has changed on him. Part of the attraction last year was, number one, the money, but also the control of the contract. You had 2 more years left.
Right.
And now that situation has changed. And when that situation changes and you combine the fact that he's now at a 901 save percentage or whatever he is, the value goes down. Just how it works in the NHL.
And yet I'm still like, gosh, I could see Soros, this being a rough patch, different system, whatever, and him having another 5 years of outstanding play that
sure.
I don't know that Askarov is going to give you that at this level.
Yeah, it's a really interesting situation and predicament that they find themselves in. I'm interested to see how Barry Trotz goes about handling that and how Askarov's play may or may not have influenced that. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on the investigation by the NCAA into Tennessee athletics as it relates to name, image, and likeness. That's next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.